Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Renee Alberts, guest host of Prosody, and my guest tonight is the poet Christiana Leach. Crouching in the shadows, Christiana Leach approaches art like a chameleon, diverse and ever-changing and merging disciplines. Whether she is painting, writing, performing poetry, producing events, acting, or singing, she uses any medium within her reach to tell a story. She is the recipient of the PCA Fellowship for World Jazz Blues Musical Composition and a Pittsburgh Magazine's 40 Under 40 Award. She is among this year's class of August Wilson Center Fellows in support of her first solo record, Obliquity of the Ecliptic. Her play Saffronia debuted at the Kelly Strayhorn Theater, and another work, The Only Good Artist is a Dead Artist, premiered at the Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater. She performs her poetry throughout the Pittsburgh area and participated in the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust's She Said series. Her current efforts include a CD and chapbook of her spoken word poetry. Hi, Christiana.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing your work. So do you want to start with a few poems?
Certainly. Start with Unhealed. Sometimes you work hard, sweat, soak sheets, still unhealed, broken, presumptuous, preemptive, screeching, with your don't take me for a sucker and your I can't carry you, save you, rescue you, be your rock, your bank, the empty shell you empty into. I'm still reeling from the many befores. Sometimes you read, you think, you do all the good things like tea, massage, yoga, therapy, and still unhealed, broken, twitchy. I really want to love you, and I really want to be with you, but undecided, undesired, unloved, unforgiving, unbelievable, This ain't living. More and more of us who scour the carpet, car's bottom, under couch, scraping coins for gas and cigarettes. Those of us who sweat between the choice, working to pay off the man. This is the quality of life that enriches the world we'd like to see. Those of us who work for pennies, pining for the wage, nice work if you can get it, holding on to phrase, fearing possible ends because we can't afford a day off, we can't afford to be sick, a moment to slip is all it would take to become another statistic. Those of us who are in shock that too much has changed and not for the better. Got to smile for the camera. It's watching to make sure you're patriotic. Happy with the bottom of the stick. Those of us who drown the pain in the numb of the game they supply to the man, we demand the lie, sulk, laugh, shrug it off, the new facts, and the fact is that we are the new slaves and poverty is the new ship. It's a nation of millions but a micro percentage of micro rich shoving our heads in toilets. We work like dogs. For who? And ultimately, for what? This ain't living, but we do it each and every day. Those of us who have grown accustomed to the corruption with a resolve that finds comfort in the whole, I told you so, remain silent on streets. Apathy has taped our mouths and bound our bodies in fear. Clouds. Puffy against the deep midnight sky, two wispy clouds hung in the air like unframed paintings.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Renee Alberts, guest host of Prosody, and my guest tonight is the poet Christiana Leach. So that was just a fraction of a tremendously impressive bio of a wide range of work that you do as a multidisciplinary artist. You've been active and recognized as a poet, a singer, a playwright, a visual artist. How does working within all of these mediums affect how you approach your writing?
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize that initially I started as a visual artist. So I think I approach a lot of things from that angle. A lot of things are like paintings to me. And then as that progressed, you know, at some point, being an artist is very solitary. And I think I felt a great need to be – I felt a great need to feel a part of a community. So I kind of fell into music. And then from there, that spun off into poetry. Even at that time at CMU, I was writing on my paintings. The two were interchangeable. So that there's a lot of interchangeable energies, but I think it springs from the aspect of seeing things as paintings or feeling them as paintings. You know, sometimes I go into a museum and I see a painting and it sounds like music, or it actually sounds like a poem to me. Like it starts forming words and vice versa.
Oh, that's really interesting. So it's like a form of synesthesia almost. So with all of these mediums at your disposal, can you talk about the process of from the creative impulse, how you choose which direction to go into, whether it's if you're mixing poetry and painting or sound and poetry?
I've thought about that a lot because there's such a pressure to choose one genre and really focus on that. And an idea or feeling would germinate, and it kind of chooses how it wants to express itself. I reached the point with my painting that I just couldn't say what I want with the colors and with the brushstrokes. It just started coming out verbally, and then from there, it just keeps building upon itself. That's what I was thinking about today. Like, it just keeps crawling forward, but it's kind of circular in a sense because it keeps coming back to this source of visual imagery, I think.
Mm, that's really interesting.
Well, I spent a lot of time as a teenager being quiet. I didn't really talk much to people, so I think there's a real sense of quietude, observation, and just feeling energy visually and always trying to find a way to communicate back to that feeling in the most appropriate way. I don't know. It chooses itself. Sort of like the sculptor says, the wood spoke to me. So
that's interesting. So you follow the work itself.
I try to be free in that manner. I think my parents gave me that, or just kind of just the freedom, you know. Like if I was singing, I would be drawing on the wall. Okay, kids, you shouldn't do that unless your parents let you do that. But yes, it would just kind of always be synonymous.
All right. Can you read some more poems?
Oh, yes. Square miles. 600,000. Slick, thick, slog, black, thick, stick, roll, swamp. Look, Mommy, it looks like chocolate. Black, thick, brown, slick, stick to feather, feather, stick, loss, corporate, greed, suck, 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 life, slick, stick, 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 thick, 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 black, brown, stick, 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 sink, underneath, flow, fire, flow, Mommy, look, it looks like chocolate, and it flows, and it moves, and it flows in the gulf, and it's thick, and it's black, and it's brown, and it globs, and it disperses, and it floats down underneath, and it covers, and it's black, and it's thick, and it's slick, and it's thick, and it's slick, and it sticks to stone, sticks to whale, sticks to feather, sticks to blue, sticks to sand, turtles, life, breath, and it's thick, and it's slick, and it's slick, 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 slick like a man in a suit, slick underneath. And it moves down, and it flows down underneath. Stick, stick. Dolphin swim, swim. Pelicans, kins. Birds fly down in the water, fly down in the water. Black, thick. Stick in the water, stick, stick to stone, stone, stone to feather, fin, bones, blood. Thick, stick, click, click, click. Change the channel, change the channel. Forget, forget, forget. Stick, stick. Oh, birds fly high, high. Circle above the water. And rain, rain, rain pulls from the water. And it's thick, thick, thick. Slick, slick. Brown, brown. Black, black. Death. Called Cocoon. I wake up in my spinning bed, search the walls, they seem to be closing in, wear my clothes as if they're my first skin, stepping through, stepping out, looking for a new way. I run the halls and I run out the closet, fall through the holes, crawl out of tunnels, too many ways in and not enough out. I'm in a cocoon. I'm in a cocoon. I dance through fire, feathers on my head, shake the beads of my Cherokee kin, throw corn in hopes of evening the score, search the sky for a new way. I'm in a cocoon. I crawl breathless on bloody knees. I kiss the rings of shamans and kings. Take the knife and cut me free from the tree that was wrong in me. I'm in a cocoon, and I'm searching, and I'm searching the sky for a new way. $2 beer. Walked into this place of negative dreams, deferred fantasies, a place, you know, where the same stories are told by the same people, and there is usually one who has been more adventurous, eliciting jealous glares, talking about making a change, but you know, it's really about doing the same thing a different way. But she's been saying that for years. Everyone nods. No one believes. With their dilated, bloodshot eyes, it transforms even the nicest acquaintances into jerks. It smells like beer and anger, and everyone's at the trough eating it like it's their last meal. When the four horsemen arrive, waving their skulls, they won't even recognize themselves. This is where they'll hide at the end when it comes, talking about what they've done and what they're going to do. It's the last place to break bottles and spit on each other.
I'd like to ask you about the golf poem. The poem has such a powerful, haunting, absorbing rhythm to it. And at times it almost feels that it's restraining this almost singing that's coming out later. And I'm curious how you arrived at that kind of structure for the poem.
It's based on, we're all reading about it. We're all feeling, what do we do? And I think sometimes at artists, what do I do? What skills do I have? What do I do? And looking at the photos and the videos and the news and just seeing life, you know, the life of the birds and the marine life and reading about how it's, you know, people are in restaurants and it's in their food and it's becoming part of the insides of animals, the marine life. And it's affecting also human life, the people who have built their life on the coast. And it's this breathing thing, you know, feeling you're slowly drowning, being taken over by something that's not supposed to mix with water. It's not supposed to be in it in that sense and take over and suffocate you. So there's that part. And I came to it because I feel suffocated by feeling helpless and vulnerable of not knowing what to do. I mean, I normally would go down there myself and clean it up, but I have a chemical, I have multiple chemical sensitivities, so it's hard to be around certain chemicals. So it's that frustration as well that pulls on your breath and just makes you feel constricted, but at the same time you just want to stand in the middle of the street and scream your head off. That's contrast.
That's interesting. That gets into something else that I wanted to ask you about, this sense of responsibility that I hear in your work. You have this very direct, strong voice that these poems are in, and at times there's a sense of sort of us and them, but you almost never know when that us and them is going to turn and it becomes we demand the lie in the one poem, or even implicating the speaker herself. So I wanted to ask you about that theme of sort of complacency or culpability in your work.
It's, you know, the pull of dark and light, the pull in yourself to help the world or just do what you want to do and satisfy your own desires. So I think some people can feel that. I've been accused of being preachy or whatever, but I think they don't understand that a lot of times I'm talking to myself. I see myself in everybody and everybody in me. I see moments where I'm apathetic. I feel all of these moments. I might not live that for the full day, or some people live like that all the time, but I have those moments, and that keeps me balanced in, you know, seeing myself in, but also feeling a need to respond to what's happening around me. I just can't watch certain or see these things going down and not respond to it. That's kind of, I guess, how I am.
So do you feel nature. Like that's a responsibility of art to speak towards these dark places and these difficult themes? Or is that part of your outlet? Or is it a little both?
I think it's part of what art does. I don't know if I'd want to put it, you know, because everyone has a different way that they're expressing their art and a different way of how they're expressing perhaps their protest. Some are quieter. Some are just reflecting on the movement of the clouds. And it's all very valid. I think for me, it comes out like that, just based on perhaps based on just who I am and how I grew up, you know, being the other of the other, outside of the outside, and observant and just quiet and observing. And it, I guess it does kind of, after all that observing, it just kind of roars out of me. A lot of people are surprised because they just assume I'm quiet. I'm just sitting there very quietly and listening. But, you know, it's everything around us is affecting us. The energy in the air, the way these digital billboards are flashing at us, the acceptance of technology, and we're not even sure what it's going to do to our bodies. We're just moving and flowing, and I kind of feel a need to just kind of stop and say, like, I just want to, what are we doing? Like, I just want to feel it and take a moment, and I just can't run with everybody just because we're told to run. I need to stop and think. It reminds me of camp. All these schools went to this lake, so many activities to do, and I was dying to do all of them. I mean, there was fishing and swimming in the lake and all this stuff and archery and painting. And that was probably my first, you know, Zen moment, perhaps. I was 11, and I just dropped everything and walked to the nearest hill and just sat there, and I just watched everything. And it wasn't like a judgment. It was like, look at us. We're moving around. We're so little.
I like that. Yeah, the sort of role as the artist, as an outside observer commenting from that sort of distanced perspective. I think you can hear that a lot in your work. Can we hear some more poems?
This is experience I had on the bus. I have this a lot on the bus. I'll leave the title for later. Hey, lady. Why don't you ask the people next to you instead of yelling at me from across the aisle, and don't call me honey. I'm not your fear alleviator. I'm not your racial transition. I'm not your diversity workshop. There are no halves to this understanding. I'm not your cultural bridge between the white land and black ocean. And I won't make you all hold hands and sort it out. I'm not your history book to rewrite. I'm not here to pretend I don't fight the good fight. I won't ease your unfounded fears, nor correct your distorted statistics, or smooth over your embarrassment. And I won't be your 8 a.m. wake-up call in this multi-culti hotel. Tell America, and I don't stutter. I am not responsible for the erasing of your racism, and don't call me honey. This is about my fish in the tank that was dying. It was being murdered by the other fish. It's called Hate to Watch. He's practically vertical, standing on the blue rocks, making little movements to stay afloat, breathing labored. He avoids the sharks, but somebody gave him the death blow. He can't get his bearings. It's the first time he's ever looked tired. I tap on the glass. Don't die. Don't don't die. And he's shaking himself to shake it off. Whatever it is that is afflicting him now, everyone is nipping each other, chasing each other. There's tension in the tank, yet he still sinks vertically. I gave them food, but it looks as if they prefer to eat each other, especially him. Stare. In the mirror, I stare at the woman who took too long to love me. Invisible heroes. When you come home, finally reach the last stop sign, the last tree in your yard, tarred and feathered, shaking dust from the eagle's talons, eating gold, throwing up fleece. How will you fit all that death in our eyes so we can understand? Sometimes I prefer dead people. Head clunking. I take my flattened palm, clunk the side of my temple several times. Nothing. I've been having strange dreams whereupon I wake up knowing things I didn't really want to know. My childhood rendering me capable of hearing a universe in traveling dust. See, if you close one eye, you can see electricity swell snake-like all around people. Yet another non-money-making skill. Isn't that what counts? Who needs a shaman? That's what pills are for. I dream of dinner parties with Dalia, Ikkyo, Zora, Armstrong, Dandridge, Hendrix, Crazy Horse, Modigliani, Nefertiti, all the dead, cool, crazy people. I know I say too much, not careful like some, who wait to construct that which will render them ultra-intelligent, instead perhaps maybe beautifully vulnerable. At the dinner we are arguing about loss and the meaning of true liberty. We are kicking fear-mongering video cameras. We are spitting at tattooed Victorian oh-mys who learn revolution from a book and keep it there. We keep the dragon fans flapping. We don't hide ourselves. You hide yourself as they come right into your house, take your underwear off, and slip you the finger. You suck. You're fire, raging out of control in a tight space, sucking all the oxygen out. Flames lick and flick, searching for more breath to suck. You are a black hole swirling through space, a worm of false charm winding through the universe, sucking anything and everything in its path. The pressure of being around you is a G-force tearing flesh from bone, and still you want more. If it wasn't for the fact that I was filled with an unbreakable spirit, I would have been a pile of soot long, 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 long time ago, a thousand thousands of nothings. But see, I'm a boxer, and I'm rising from the mat at the count of nine, and my eyes may be swollen with blood on my teeth, broken nose. I'm rising with a bloody smile, because there are always ways. From the physical to the metaphysical, from the literal to the magical, baby, ways, 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 ways. I've got hidden ways, 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 lover, at the base of my skull. Ways, 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 lover, from the physical to the metaphysical, from the literal to the magical, baby, I got ways, 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 lover. See, I want you to fly down the 100 flights of stairs past the greasy light bulb, swing and pay the blind man $1, walk through peeling wallpapered halls where the roof caved in, and there in the spotlight of the moon, you'll find me, black dove, and here comes the left hook flattening you to the ground. You suck, Matt.
Thank you, Christiana. I think we have time for one more.
One more?
One more short one, yeah.
Seeing red. As I look back at the desolate desert, I see the landscape of this love. What I thought was populated with beautiful poppies were nothing but red flags.
It's the poetry of Christiana Leach. Christiana, you have an event coming up. Can you tell us about it?
The event that I'm working on with Mark Freeman is called Woman Rock, celebration of all the fabulous woman artists in this city. And it is a benefit to help Dress for Success. It's happening October 21st at the August Wilson Center. If you want more information, www.dressforsuccesspittsburgh.org is where you'll find it.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in at our new time, every Wednesday night at 7:30, for Prosody, 91.3 WYEP.